ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Folks, welcome back to another week of Reckoning Racing. This is your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host who likes to eat his toast, Lugs.
How's it going?
You like that intro?
Do these intros, do you just stay up at night thinking of these, or?
Actually, believe it or not, no. They just kind of come to the top of my head whenever I go to introduce you.
Oh, okay.
So I do want to clarify for fans, there are times that I delete the intro and redo it because Lugs does not like my intro.
Some of them are not kid-friendly.
Oh, some are just really silly, and you think it makes fun of you too much.
Whatever.
I can start laying them out there.
No, come on. Okay. Let's get the show on the road.
Okay. Well, folks, as always, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling a friend about our show. And if you haven't, please do us the favor and tell your friends and family about us. We are a family-friendly show 95.7% of the time. Wouldn't you say that, Lugs? I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, most of the time. But last week, we got a little rowdy.
Yeah, we have been here recently, I think. I think the season drags on. We're kind of making us a little feisty. So anyway, wow.
Ooh.
I'm having a rough week, man. So anyway, as always, we're going to start off with the official beer of NASCAR. Busch.
Actually, I'm not drinking a Busch.
What are you drinking?
Drinking a Monster.
That's the other official beverage of NASCAR.
Yeah. I need a little pick-me-up.
That's the non-Jimmy Johnson. Which, talking about Jimmy Johnson, let's just start off there. Folks, as always, thank you for joining us. But when is he going to announce a sponsor?
I think it's...
Is he retiring and just doesn't want to tell us?
No. No way. No.
Yeah. I doubt it, but...
It'll be in these final 10.
I mean, I would hope so. I mean...
Well, you don't want to wait too close to the end because then, you know, you're going to steal... The championship contenders are going to steal your spotlight. So I bet you he'll announce it anywhere from 10 to 5 races to go.
Okay. Well, we shall see, folks.
Find out. What's your bet? What do you want to wager?
Nothing.
A friendly Red Bull who's going to be announced as the sponsor.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's the rumors anyway. And as we know, rumors kind of do come true occasionally, such as... More than likely, LFR going to Joe Gibbs Toyota, and then Suarez getting kicked to that car. And anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. So, fans, thank you. Thank you always for contacting us, WreckingRacing@gmail.com. You can go to our website, WreckingRacing.com, and you can listen to the podcast straight from there, or you can email us from there. Just say hi, because we're lonely.
Did we get any emails this week?
Mike.
Okay.
Mike did email us, and damn it, Mike, I promise you. Okay, so I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm very close to hiring a professional to do what I want to do because I keep screwing up. So I have to keep buying supplies.
Mike was one of our contest winners.
For a month ago.
For those of you that maybe just started listening. So.
Yeah, it's been a while, and Mike, I apologize, but you are one of our best listeners. You're always contacting us, talking to us. And also, I emailed you back in response to your email you sent us. However, for some reason, I just noticed that, like, yesterday it didn't send, so I resent it again. So hopefully it goes out this time. If for some reason, I put it in, like, a spam folder or something. It wouldn't send.
Hmm. I saw we had some good fan interaction on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Twitter and Facebook this week. We had a poll on Facebook. It's been a very active week. Our fans are getting more engaged by the week. Or breaking up.
Getting feisty, just like us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good thing, you know. Let your true colors shine, you know. If you want to burn your Nikes, go right ahead.
So, do we want to... not going there.
Yeah.
Tried to bait me. Sucker. So, we want to talk about Indy a little bit and the fact that we might be up there.
We might be there. I tell you what, folks, if you're going to be there, let us know. We don't have a whole lot of freebies giveaway, but we'll have a couple with us. But the biggest thing is I want to meet our fans.
Yeah.
I want you guys to be able to see who we are and how ugly Lugs is.
You got the backwards.
I know. You're right. I did. But anyway, we'll love to meet you guys, talk to you. And, you know, we're talking, for example, our fan Mike that we mentioned that we sent an email. We actually met Mike before at Daytona. Mm-hmm. So we love to talk to you guys, meet you guys, have a beer with you if we're in that position, you know, like a Hooters or something. Or if you want to buy us by your RV to drink beer, that's okay, too. Anywhere I can get a free beer would be great.
Is that the preferred method there, Gasman?
Great, yeah.
All right.
So anyway, folks, just reach out to us. Let us know. Stay in contact. We have our phones with us at all times, you know, except for when we're sleeping. So we tend to, as quick as we can, reply back to all messages. We want to take care of all fans, so we do everything we can between Lugs and I to respond to everybody. So don't hesitate to reach out to us. Even if you're heckling us, do it. We know we made it big when we have hecklers.
That's true.
We only have one heckler right now.
Yeah, I've seen.
One. He's a very big Kyle Busch fan and gives a shit about saying shit about Kyle Busch or not giving him enough credit. And we do give him credit. I mean, you and Sokka both predicted him to win the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we give him a hard time, but damn it,
he's
Kyle gives fans.
You don't give him enough credit.
Yeah, fans. He gives fans hard time. So, yeah, take it if you're going to dish it, right?
Yeah. Did you hear what he said this week? If you don't wear a racer's shirt at the racetrack, then you're automatically considered a Kyle Busch fan.
like closet Kyle Busch fans?
I don't understand his logic there, but that's what he said. That's
like you're too scared to wear something because somebody might throw something at you or something?
I don't know, I guess.
Okay. I did not see that, but I don't understand the thought process behind that.
I mean, who knows? It's Kyle. Well, let's talk about Darlington.
Darlington, the lady too tough to tame.
Yeah, Lady in Black.
Lady in Black, yeah, that's what I meant to say. Too tough to tame and Lady in Black.
Same.
I mixed them together, whatever. The lady too tough to tame. That's like my wife.
All right.
And she doesn't usually listen to the show, so I can say anything I want to about her. I'm not going to.
That it's probably a smart idea. So Kozlowski
stole. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say stole it, but
he stole it. We all 97.5% of the race.
To a degree, yeah.
We thought Larson was going to win this race.
He did to a degree steal it. Yeah, he was definitely not.
And not steal in a bad way. He very much deserved it.
And he earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? His pit crew, yes. That's what I was getting to say. The true champions of the night.
So congrats to Kozlowski. He is now, he was already locked into the chase, but now he's even more so.
Got some bonus points.
Got bonus points. Get him through, hopefully, if you're a Kozlowski fan, get him through that first round. But yeah, one of the big storylines is the kind of upset there with Kozlowski taking down Larson. Larson led 284 out of 367 laps.
Yeah, there's several storylines about this race. So overall, what was your general feeling of the race overall?
I liked it.
Before we get into the storylines.
I liked it. There was different strategies. There was tire issues. There was penalties. There was throwback paint schemes. There was Clint Bowyer running out of talent. There was, I mean, you name it, this race had it.
So here is my common view perspective, okay? It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. To me, there was racing. There was, I think the retro aura or the throwback aura that the race has helps to hide some of the boringness that it could potentially
true,
have.
But let me ask you this. If it was Kyle Busch out there leading 284 laps, would you have still had that same response?
Yeah, I think so. What my response is, basically what I'm trying to say is that, let's face it, at times it was a drag on race. You're like, really? I mean, there wasn't enough caution, but if you really watched the racing, there was racing.
There was
going
racing,
on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's such a narrow track. I mean, it's a fun track. And I think, like I said, the whole retro scheme of the race just kind of gives it a whole different feel anyway.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I loved it. Was it my top five of the year? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But top 10, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I mean, we've had, let's be honest, the product this year has been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Couple of snoozies, but...
But fans still find stuff to bitch about.
And we're going to, but not just the fans. I mean, NASCAR themselves are bitching. So, and Rob Kaufman, if you're listening, you're a douche canoe. I just can't stand that guy. So anyway, we'll get more into more stuff here in a little bit, and I kind of probably go back on my soapbox with that a little bit. Just the whole big team mentality and where it's getting us in the sport.
Yeah. It's kind of I think we've got a good topic of conversation to hit there later. So any surprises from the race?
I mean, one is, who was our poster? Denny Hamlin, right? Mm-hmm. What the hell did he do?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You didn't see him up front very long. Came home 10th.
Yeah, but people were expecting him to contend for the win. And I don't think his name was even mentioned all night.
And defend his win from last year. But, yeah, no, it definitely didn't happen.
I think I see more TV coverage of the 51 BJ McLeod vehicle than I did Denny Hamlin.
That was a cool paint scheme.
It was. And we joked about not getting, you know, this cool scheme we're not going to get to see on TV. Damn it, we've seen it several times on TV getting laughed.
Yeah. As well as the Derek Cope Bojangles car.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Lord, that thing was everywhere.
Yeah, so we'll get to Derek Cope in a second due to somebody's comments. But overall, one thing, there was a surprise. I know pit road's always tough at Darlington, mm-hmm. but how many uncontrolled tire penalties there were.
Yeah, that was crazy.
This is so late in the season, all that should be settled.
Yeah.
Teams should not be struggling that much.
It just shows you the pressure mounting.
Yeah, I agree. And that one, who was it? It may have been Austin Dillon. I think it was Austin Dillon who was having actually a really good race. Mm-hmm. I started watching. I'm like, that's an uncontrolled tire. That's going to be a penalty. And, of course, they didn't say anything. Announcers didn't. And then a few minutes later, oh, Austin Dillon penalty. I'm like, okay, yeah, I was right. Good.
Yeah, but there was a lot of penalties.
And there were some people, and they're surprised, there were some people running so well in this race that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Chris Buescher, he was top 10 for a while.
And I think that's kind of awesome.
Finished 13th. That's it is because this is a tough track.
It is, and it comes down. It kind of shows you the true grit racers that can manage their tires.
Yeah,
it's
one thing. It is one thing. We have a Talladega, a Daytona, where you have these smaller teams running towards the front.
Right.
But this is Darlington. This isn't
Daytona.
Plays
into the driver's talents.
Yeah, absolutely. Tire wear. Absolutely. Yeah. So I just kind of wondered, like, how many of these drivers, when they get into a team that has a lot of money because they have a sponsor spending $20 million a year and don't fold their doors or close their doors, what can they do if they were actually put in good equipment?
Exactly. Right. Well, and kind of encouraging to see Byron up there running too. He was another one I want to
actually note. All of Hendrick.
Yeah.
All of Hendrick. Bowman started off really well, but he fell back a little bit, but he qualified well, practiced really well. Johnson was one of the fastest in practice.
But Byron
did horrible before he had
Byron,
issues.
Byron almost charged up into the top five there.
Yeah, and I think Chevy this weekend finally maybe showed us more of what we were expecting halfway through the season.
Yeah, so we had two Chevys in the top five. Larson was third, and Elliott came home fifth. So, you know, inching their way there, but I think they're slowly getting there.
Yeah, so what do you think about the Hendrick having their oil pump issues?
I hope it's a secluded incident for their sake.
So for the fans who don't know, Jamie McMurray, who runs at Hendrick Motorsports engine package, had an issue, was it Friday during, was it qualifying or practice?
I think he changed the engine twice, actually.
Wow. And then we had Johnson and we had Byron blow up.
Yeah.
So the only one that came out safe from it was Chase. And Bowman had issues, but I don't think it was oil pump issues.
He had a flat tire, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. He went in and got a couple, he had a flat tire.
But it reminds me, it was Talladega, man. It's probably 10 years ago. Do you remember this race when Hendrick, every Hendrick car in the field, even the supplied engines for other teams, blew up?
Yeah, I do remember that.
A nightmare for that team.
Now, you get your parts from the same place that they usually can withstand the same tolerances. Mm-hmm. You go beyond those tolerances, it tends to be a across-the-board issue.
Right.
Weather kind of notes did you, or surprises did you have, Lux?
Well, I was kind of surprised to see Kyle Busch wreck someone again.
You were surprised to see that? It was like three
was.
Weeks in a row?
Was it? I mean, I know he did it at Bristol with Truex. Well, who was the other?
What was the race before Bristol? I'm going to have to go back on my phone and look it up. I'm pretty sure there was someone a week before. Who was that? Anyway, go on. Go ahead, keep going on what you're talking about. I'll try
to
look it up.
You know, I don't know. You could attribute it to being a lap car and it being several seconds off the pace, but when he got into Joey Gase, I guess I didn't really expect that. So who knows? Maybe it was a little deliberate. Maybe it wasn't. Nonetheless, surprised me a little bit. Well, I'll tell you the other big surprise, though, was the incident with Bowyer and Newman. Holy crap. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected.
Yeah. And
I guess it was just a perfect storm watching the replays because Newman put his hand out to wave, and then BJ McLeod put his hand out to signal to Bowyer to go around him. So he's probably looking in the mirror same time Newman's putting his hand out.
Right.
So he didn't relay the message to
Bowyer,
who was kind of in no man's land.
It was a perfect storm, but man, he cleaned him out.
That was a hell of a hit.
Yeah.
Hell of a hit.
Yeah, the speed discrepancy there was crazy. You know what it reminded me of? Remember in Days of Thunder when Cold Trickle comes out of the pits to take out Russ Wheeler as he's celebrating his victory lap?
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
But yeah, that was a hellacious hit. So
what's crazy was Newman still got back out there.
Yeah.
And did some more laps and stuff. Like the amount of damage on Newman's car versus.
Yeah, it's just like
Bowyer.
The rear deck plate. That's it. Yeah.
And
Boyer's car was completely demolished.
Oh, yeah.
So talking about Bowyer, what do you think about his interview?
Oh, yeah.
I laughed about
how many times is
these lap cars.
These lap cars going to be in the way.
And that 99 Derek Cope guy.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't have any kind words for Cope, that's for sure.
I'm not sure if he said Derek Cope's name or he just said the 99.
The 99. Everyone knew who it was, though.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, it's warranted, actually.
Hey, but you know what? At least the guy's not starting and parking.
Yeah,
Give him some props.
That's very true.
I saw that a couple places throughout the NASCAR land over the weekend was actually people were giving the teams props that there was like no start and park cars. I mean, Gase finished 40th, and he was cleaned out by Kyle. Last was Johnson, and you had DeBrito. I'm never going to be able to pronounce his last name.
Matt DeBrito.
So, I mean, you know.
So, let's see.
Yeah, interesting.
And something else I really liked about this race. So, who was my dark horse?
Ty Dillon.
A real dark horse. Yeah. Like, someone you would never expect to finish in the top 10, let alone. But 21st. Not great, but not horrible. But did you see him before the race?
And pumping up the crowd.
And I'm pretty sure it was DeBrito out there with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're out there pumping the crowd up. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, they're really getting back to the fans and trying to get the fans some love. And talking about that, it was pretty much a full set of stands.
Yeah, it looked pretty full.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. So luckily, good weather turned out for it as well. So anything else to... the Cup Series.
Yeah, nothing really surprising. The TV ratings, just throw that out there real quick. It was down from 1.7 to 1.5. And again, I guess it doesn't freaking matter if they're going to keep putting the damn races on NBC
Here
Sports.
We go, folks.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I mean, seriously, though, right? I mean, it's just that it should be expected that you have low freaking ratings.
Yeah, so why even post it? Why even give us the ammunition to talk about it, really?
Bastards.
There was a post-race penalty announced. Actually, was it today? Maybe yesterday.
Yep, it was today. I had made my notes for today, and then like 5 minutes after I made my notes was announced, I had to go back and update my notes.
Loose lug nut found on Kyle Larson's car, so $10,000 fine for his crew chief, Chad Johnson.
You know who didn't get a fine for a loose lug nut? Kyle Busch.
The rest of the field?
Kyle Busch. They determined he had a loose lug nut, but wasn't loose enough to be a safety issue, so therefore you didn't get penalized. What kind of BS is that? Favoritism much? Huh? Maybe?
Is there like a certain threshold or tolerance they allow for?
I didn't think there was, but I guess there is.
Huh.
NASCAR, the officials say they've visually seen a loose lug nut.
Was this on Twitter? I didn't hear
about
this.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. I see it on Twitter.
Okay. Mm. Well, good to know that there's...
So just question it. And I did retweet that. So if you follow us on Twitter, you can see that. If you don't follow us on Twitter, why the hell not?
Tweeter. Maybe that.
I swear this beer always does that. I can't even talk without gas exploding from my chest.
That's not the only place.
The gas man.
All right. So let's shift gears before we get to the big obvious news point from that we're going to talk about.
Let's talk about our picks first. Like, who we had for Darlington.
Yeah. So we if you didn't catch last week's episode, we had Sokka on. His pick was
Truex and Jones.
Yeah, Truex and Jones.
So Truex finished 11th, and Jones finished, the Jones boy finished 8th. I had Kyle Busch and the surprise pick, Ty Dillon.
Mm-hmm. I had Almirola.
And Blaney.
And, Ryan Blaney. Sorry, I had to stop thinking about it.
Yeah, so overall, Sokka
We were pretty consistent, but Sokka took the cake.
Yeah, 9.5. Yeah, but he chose Jones as a dark horse. Who has a win this year? I don't know if I call that a dark horse. So next year when we do this slug for next season, we're going to have to come up with some kind of regulations. Like, your dark horse has to be someone like 20th or worse in points.
And you're really setting the limitations. But okay.
Yeah, like Ty Dillon, that's a dark horse.
Can't have a win, or if they have a win, they can't be in the top 20 in points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Okay.
It's just like a William Byron. He's a little higher in points than 20th, but not much. But actually, might be sitting like 21st now. But
speaking of Byron, man, how about that rainbow paint scheme? That looked good out there. Folks, do you hear this hate coming through your speakers?
There's no hate.
Do you hear this?
There's no hate.
I
never was a fan of that paint scheme. Never was a fan of that paint scheme. Now, the Flames paint scheme that he runs, I like that.
I'm surprised they haven't brought that one back. That's the second time they've brought the
Jurassic Park one. Do that one again. I like that. I was never a fan of the rainbow paint scheme.
But it's iconic, man. It looked good out there.
It didn't look, it looked okay. It didn't look as good as half the other cars out there. Boyer's card looked awesome. Denny Hamlin's card looked awesome.
It won the best paint scheme.
BJ McLeod's looked awesome.
Hey, that did look awesome, but it won
Austin
Dillon's. It won the popular vote for best paint scheme, so, you know, fans are disagreeing with you here.
Okay. that paint scheme was in the bottom 15 cars of the race.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. All right.
Yes.
Time to move on. Agree to disagree.
Chase's was much
better. Hey, I will give you props, though.
Brad's was much
better. Austin Dillon's car looked really good
under the
lights.
It did.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I really liked Denny Hamlin's car. I don't know why, but I really
you
liked
know,
the car.
I chuckled at this whenever Larson put Dillon and Jeffrey Earnhardt a lap down when they were racing back to the caution there.
Oh, the two Earnhardt cars?
Put two Earnhardt paint schemes down a lap there.
Yeah.
I think I
you did. You sent me a message.
I didn't really get a response there.
I wonder why.
I thought it was comical. Even if you were not an Earnhardt
So
fan.
let's talk about that real quick. So the first stage coming to the end, Austin Dillon basically runs into Larson.
Yeah.
Hard racing to stay on the lead lap.
Almirola, or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the second stage comes to an end, and then at the last second, Larson guns it to keep them a lap down.
No. Larson, there was one where Larson allowed Byron.
That was the first. That was the first, because him and Austin got into it, and he backed off. He backed off.
So he let Byron and a few others go by to stay on the lead lap. And then,
I mean, he had like four cars pass him in that
which
last.
You don't see that in.
No, anymore. You don't.
But most of the time, they go by the scoring loop whenever.
Yeah.
So it's weird that.
They take the checkered, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of weird. But
the second stage, he gunned it there at the end, and for two reasons. One is to help keep Truex lap down, but two, he was pissed at Austin from the previous stage, so he wanted to put Austin a lap down.
Yeah.
So that was actually pretty funny. I did enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, it's sad, though, because Dillon was kind of having a good night, minus his uncontrolled tire to that point. So.
But that was like the theme of the night, man. Uncontrolled tires.
Yeah.
Bubba missing the pits.
Yeah. You know what? And he did that. Actually watched practice, and he did that in practice. He did a practice pit entry, and he missed it in practice, too. So I was like, oh, man, he's going to struggle in the race. And then he went and did it in the race.
Yeah, and then Johnson did it.
I mean, a lot of people did.
Yeah, it was.
Kenseth hit the commitment area patch.
Yeah.
Said it was like pastel pink on a light gray track. He's like, could you have picked a different color or something? But it's funny. So, yeah, picks. Yeah, Sokka swept us on that. You got second, and I took home third. Not by much, though.
All right, so I guess we go to the biggest news of the week.
Nah, right? Let's talk about Xfinity real quick.
Okay.
So while we're still on Darlington. Sure. So Keselowski actually won that race as well.
Yes.
But there was kind of a bigger storyline that came out of that. So Ross Chastain, he was in the 42 car for Chip Ganassi Racing this weekend. Mm-hmm. Did a hell of a job. Earned his keep in that car, in my opinion, regardless of the race outcome. But Harvick was chasing him down for the lead. They made contact. We posted this on our Facebook page if you haven't seen the video. I'm sure you have. If you haven't, go check it out. So they make contact, and Chastain goes up in the fence, bounces back down into Harvick, and chaos kind of ensues from there. And Chastain intentionally spun Harvick once they kind of gathered it all up.
You think it was purposely?
Absolutely.
I know. I was kidding.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was like, if you don't see that, you're
blind.
Yeah,
it's very obvious.
So anyways, Harvick's day was done at that point. He got out of the car and basically said that you know, Chastain's driving over his head, and that's why he'll never get any more of these opportunities and good rides. Chip Ganassi sent out a tweet and said, on the contrary, he just earned his keep and, you know, will definitely be getting more top rides and seat time. So, very interesting turn of events there. What was your take on it?
Yeah, like you said, I do respect the way he drove. I think Harvick was being a little bitch.
Yeah, he was a little bit. And, you know, I remember a certain Kevin Harvick racing that way when he came up.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
As I'm saying the sentence, I picture him jumping across Greg Biffle's roof onto the hood of his car at Bristol and grabbing him by the suit, getting in his face. I mean, come on, man. That was you 20 years ago.
It wasn't even 20 years ago, 15. But
yeah.
I absolutely agree. I think Harvick was definitely in the wrong. And did you hear the news that came out today after this?
I did. And I wonder if it has anything to do with that.
Absolutely. 100% I think it does.
So enlighten us, what's the news?
The news is that Harvick came out and said that, you know, unless it's extenuating circumstances or special circumstances, he's not running Xfinity anymore.
Right.
I 100% think it's all related to this weekend. Because he got massive criticism and he looked like an idiot.
Yeah.
And to help prevent that, Delano is probably like, dude, you're a dumbass. Stop.
Yeah, he basically came out and said, unless we go to a super cool track or have some super cool package or something that's different that interests me, I'm going to be done with the Xfinity series. So, I don't know. That kind of breaks my heart a little bit. I like to see the Cup guys in some of those events. I don't like to see him in every single one of them, but it's cool to see him come out every once in a while.
It's mixed feelings.
Yeah,
I get it. But if you took the Cup guys out, I wouldn't really be missing much.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see if Harvick, you know, reneges on that comment, if he stays true to his words or if he circles back in the next year. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So now do we move on to the
big
news?
All right. Now you can spill the beans there, Gasman.
You can go ahead.
The whole free world. You can have it. The whole free world knows, though.
So I just want to say this, okay? Before we really get into it, I want to discuss a couple of things that we discussed the last couple of weeks on the show. So we've been talking about rumors, potentials, that things happening. Some people call us crazy. I'm pretty sure you've disagreed with me quite a bit on this, actually, because you keep saying he's a champion last year. He'll find someone.
I did.
We said this. Or I should say, you said this week after week after week, probably 3 weeks in a row.
I did.
Yeah. So the news is, and it's huge news, mm-hmm. is that last year's champion, Martin Truex Jr., for a few seconds was out of a ride for next year because his team is ceasing operations at the end of the year. So
Furniture Row Racing, yes.
Correct. But we have now learned that he's going to the 19 with Joe Gibbs, and Daniel Suarez is getting kicked to the curb. Where? Speculation is with the 95 with LeVan Family Racing.
And supposedly Aris is following suit.
Yeah, Stuart Haas was interested in him only if he brought Aris with him.
Hmm.
So before we get any more on Truex, this just brings up a question I have for you, Lugs. I think I see more now than ever before where it's the driver's responsibility to get in sponsorship than it is the team's getting sponsorship.
Absolutely.
Why was there such a shift in that? Because back in the day, the driver was chosen because of his talent, and he freaking raced. Now he's a marketing tool, and he is the marketing tool.
Just
owners,
like,
are like, I don't care if you race. Can you bring a sponsor?
It's just like, I mean, it's just become that cutthroat. It's dog-eat-dog world. It's just like anything else. It's who you know. What can you bring to the table? Why should I give you this ride? Boom. Sponsorship, money. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, that's the world we live in.
So we were talking to Amber on our show a couple weeks ago, and she's working her tail off trying to get a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
If she can get a sponsor lined up, she can probably choose a decent ride for her race, all season, ARCA, you know, K&N, whatever. But, man, that's a lot of pressure to put on a driver. They're not your marketing person. They are your driver.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I kind of get it, but I'm thinking that's also, that philosophy is also what kind of put the sport in the position it is.
Absolutely.
So, again, we have a huge sponsor, which 5-Hour Energy.
It comes down to cost, right?
Oh, it is. It is. And that's NASCAR's fault.
Exactly. So, something has got to change.
It has to. Absolutely has to change. So, let's dive back a little further on this with the Martin Truex situation. So, we have 5-Hour Energy, who was shelling out, what, $10 million a year?
Yeah, 10 or 12.
Something like that. So, $10 million a year. They lose that $10 million a year. And now they can't operate. They cannot function. Years ago, sponsors were giving out 20-something million a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so weird that the money is less than what it was. I'm kind of talking off key here, and I apologize. NASCAR has put programs in place to reduce costs for the last couple of years.
They've tried. Yeah.
Tried. But they keep doing other things that are making it a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel-injected cars, for example.
Yeah.
The engineering that these teams have to be a top-tier team. So, basically, French Rowe, Barney Visser, basically says there's two type of cars in NASCAR. You got a lot of money, and you're going to compete and win with that lot of money. If you don't have a lot of money, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. You're basically a starting part team.
Right.
And if he didn't have the money coming in, he couldn't compete. Therefore, why put a product on a track that can't compete?
Yeah.
So this goes back to, I was bitching about Rob Kaufman earlier, and he's the head of the Racing Alliance. This whole charter system screwed up. This whole monetary dimensioned mindset that these teams have, it's all wrong. It is all wrong. I don't know if I have the answer, but I'm going to bitch about it.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's a big fish mentality. You know, the bigger teams are going to dominate the industry because they have the funds.
Too big to fail. Too big to fail.
Except
guess
for
what?
The
champion just failed.
Yeah.
That is, if that doesn't hit home to you guys, then I don't know what else can.
So actually, it's kind of a good tweet that I saw on Twitter today by Michael Waltrip. So he said, listen closely, people. I will tell you why making a NASCAR team work financially is nearly impossible. This is coming from a guy who had a team and folded up, right?
Right.
NASCAR stands for National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. The stock piece of our name is gone. If you bring back stock, you might be able to fix a broken business model.
I agree. I did not see that tweet, but I agree, because these cars are so far from stock. That's what I'm talking about, the engineering support alone.
Well, I saw another tweet. Someone was saying that, you know, teams, they all used to use the same shocks, and now each team are building their own shocks from the ground up, trying to get that edge, trying to get that competitive edge.
You know what?
And that's caused
Maybe NASCAR should step in and mandate you can have 8 people per team. And then you're going to be like, what? But you got to make it work in that.
Well,
so that's going to start.
They've also said, you know, institute a spending cap. But how do you monitor that? How do you enforce a spending cap?
I don't think you can. I don't think. I think you can have, we'll say, I'm just talking out loud here, okay? So if you have Hendrick, he has 4 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed a chief engineer. You're allowed 1 assistant engineer per team. And then, like, your engine builder and a couple like a fabricator, stuff like that, but only the one engineer per team, and then the chief engineer, which is like the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Something kind of format like that. But I mean, when you have an engineer for shocks, an engineer for body design, an engineer for every little piece, an engineer for, you know, is the seat comfortable, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's just engineers cost money. Trust me, I know. I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Engineers cost money. These teams, BJ McLeod Racing, can't afford these engineers like that.
No. And if anything, it makes those teams that compete without all of that cash flow that much more impressive.
Yeah, exactly. That's my whole point, is that I used to give shit to the little teams because I never really thought about it.
Yeah, exactly. But
the more I think about it, like Tommy Joe Martins,
yeah,
people like that, you have to give kudos because sometimes they can step up and actually surprisingly win a race or be mm-hmm, competitive mm-hmm. and finish in the top 10. And
which that team was Furniture Row, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And they did the right things. They maneuvered their chess pieces right to align themselves in a top-tier position. And what did they get for it? They got a championship, and they got tossed to the curb.
Right. And I heard, and this is just speculation, but I say I heard. I read it on Twitter that, you know, Barney Visser said, hey, or, you know, it was a conversation somewhere where Barney just said, hey, the cost of me retaining this relationship with Joe Gibbs is going to cause me to have to go borrow money, which I'm in no position, and it's something I don't want to do. So this is the result.
So, exactly. My whole, while I was getting to their lugs with this conversation with you, we talked about the small teams. Again, I used to give it shit until you analyze and break it down.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them props. You got to give them kudos. And it goes back to, I don't remember what episode it was. We talked about the Racing Alliance, Rob Kaufman. And there's like 3-week period there where these big NASCAR executives were downing the small teams.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, that's the bread and butter. That is us. That is the American way. That is, those are the people who are working their ass off to get somewhere.
I'm surprised Kaufman hasn't opened his big mouth on this.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But it's idiots like him.
He deleted his Twitter from the last fiasco.
Idiots like him that are putting the sport in the position it's in. And, you know, we were spending all season, what can we do to make NASCAR better? What can we do about NASCAR better? Doing this podcast has taught me one thing, Lux, or multiple things. One, NASCAR is not broken, as in the product. What's broken is the costs, the corporation that it is, the atmosphere that mm-hmm. it is internally.
Mm-hmm.
Again, fans' perspective, it's really good. The racing product is really good. It's all the behind-the-scenes shit that's just crumbling to pieces.
Yeah, boiling over.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, I keep talking about the NASCAR, the races, the TV ratings. Again, why are you allowing them to put it on the sub channels? And you're going to bitch about attendance. You're going to bitch about NASCAR, you know, people not watching. You're doing it to yourself, dumbasses.
Right.
And this whole time, you know, I started this season off getting frustrated with thinking that fans were leaving. They are leaving, but it's not leaving because the NASCAR, the visual product is bad. They're leaving because of stupid corporation style atmosphere that's going on within the sport.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no doubt that there needs to be a fundamental change, but when and how?
Well, it has to be this off season. Has to be, or they're going to get their asses handed to them with something else.
And could it be this new rules package? We haven't heard anything else about that, but supposedly that was supposed to be, right, a fund-saving mentality.
Every time they say that, it looks good at first, but then it turns out they're spending more money. Because the big teams are spending more money because they're trying to engineer ways around it.
Exactly. And that's,
so it's not, it's only cost minimalization to small teams that can't afford to spend the money to counteract it.
Right, but the big teams are still going to spend it.
Yeah, so pit guns. The whole idea was pit guns. is to try to put people on more of a level playing ground. Mm-hmm. And what the hell happened throughout the whole first part of the season?
Exactly. They tried to engineer it to get an advantage.
Exactly. And these are guns given to each team at the race, mandated by NASCAR, and they're still trying to find ways around it.
You haven't heard anything about those in a while, though.
Since they mandated nitrogen use on them, mm-hmm. we haven't heard a damn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when they're running helium and other air, you know, supplies to them to try to get that advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Again, yeah, you're cutting cost to the small teams who didn't have enough money to spend anyway, but they're still not able to be competitive because these other freaking teams, Gibbs, Hendrick, are just spending oodles of money everywhere else.
Right.
So, I know Johnson hasn't listed a sponsor yet. Okay, so we're talking about last year's champion, Truex. Couldn't get a damn sponsor.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean maybe Johnson had a harder time finding that sponsor than we expected? And maybe someone of a smokescreen saying, oh, we have some options. But did they really have options, or did they have a couple of $5 million options? Because this whole time we went under the assumption there's companies throwing money out there. It may not be everything they want. They have to have multiple sponsors, but there's companies throwing money out there. Mm-hmm. We can't let a champion last year. There's no way a champion last year who's a very remarkable guy
and
walk.
Is still having great success this year.
Yeah, exactly. We can't let him walk. But that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So with Johnson, who's not competitive this year, who's struggling this year, yes, he has seven champions, but what's he taking to the table?
Right. Well, obviously there's a degree of marketability that will always retain as part of his brand. But you think also Lowe's gave a much more significant advance than 5-Hour Energy saying that they were departing. So that gave them a little bit of help.
Yes, absolutely. That definitely helped.
But I agree. Again, I see your point. It's not easier for him, for sure.
Yeah, so, another of my point is that we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. Maybe he has this grand thing that he's going to unleash one day. Or maybe it's actually been a freaking struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one where like nothing's been released yet. It's because they are still trying to get their apples in a basket.
Yep.
And we just assume, as the fans of the sport that we are, just like Truex, we were assuming that
there
shit was going on
the table.
Yeah, that was going to fall in place just fine.
I was one of them. I mean, you said it earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong thinking that, because how could your system that you know as a fan so well fail you?
Mm-hmm.
And I meant fail us as like, why would we ever think the champion from last year, who's not a jackass, who's not a loudmouth, would hurt getting a sponsor?
Right.
I mean, Kyle Busch, he has a massive sponsor, but let's say Eminem's pulled out, okay? He may be a little bit more, he's talented, he's a champion,
mm-hmm.
he might have trouble finding a sponsor because he comes off as a dick.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting is, you know, obviously he's going to be going to Joe Gibbs, right? And he's going to be stepping into the 19. So I have two questions. So they said Bass Pro and Cole Pern are following him there.
Yes.
So Bass Pro is obviously still going to retain their hand in the basket to some degree to participate in some sponsorship of the races. But who's going to sponsor him for the others that, you know, exited 5-Hour Energy, and you know, who's going to backfill 5-Hour at Gibbs now that he's over there? Is it going to be an affiliate of Gibbs?
Could be Stanley.
Yeah.
Because Stanley was on the 19, and did you see about how there's a chance that Aris may not leave Joe Gibbs?
I did not.
They may be contractually obligated to stay within Joe Gibbs' organization.
Hmm.
Even if it's a satellite team like LFR coming on, it's still not Joe Gibbs. So they might be obligated to pick up the other one. And yeah. Torres might be without a sponsor.
Interesting, man. Kind of feel for that guy.
Yeah. And we talked about where he was rushed to the big leagues.
Yeah, we've debated that. And then also the other thing is, why would they not try to retain the 78 and bring that over? From a marketability standpoint and a brand persona,
you mean like keep the number 78
why
car?
Wouldn't, yeah, I mean
they might still do that.
I mean, everything I've seen,
so
they're saying 19.
How?
Like, 19.
Okay, yeah, but I don't know if they actually mean the number 19 or if they mean the spot of the 19. Because how many teams can a team own? Four. So, I think what they're saying is
field. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think what they're saying is that he's taking the place of the 19. I don't necessarily think they actually 100% mean, which they might mean the 19 itself. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking the place of the 19, which could be the number 19 or it could be the 78.
Yeah.
Which they would have to strike a deal with Barney to get that number. Because even if he's not in a sport, he can still technically own that number.
I thought NASCAR technically.
But you lease it.
Gotcha.
And I don't know how long.
Depends on how long Barney
the contracts
has to lease.
And stuff
yeah.
like that, yeah. right. Right.
Yeah, so many variables.
Childress, until Austin started driving the 3 car, he had rights to the 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, nobody's going to, I mean, obviously nobody's going to try to get it from
nobody
him.
Nobody
wanted
to touch that, yeah.
Yeah. But still, I don't think NASCAR truly fully owned that.
I'm just, you know, from a marketing, you know.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. So just like how Chase changed numbers this year, I could see the 19 dissolving and turning into the 78.
Yeah.
I absolutely can see that.
But, you know, there's a lot of brand prestige with the 19 at Gibbs, you know, with Carl.
But you would think that, there. But there was also a big prestige with number 5 at Hendrick.
Yeah. Yeah,
that true. It just fizzled away.
True. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But if I was a Truex fan, you know, and this is coming from, you know, I was a Chase fan, I guess you could say, in the 24. I'm more of a 24 fan. But then him going to the 9, you know, as kind of total re-gearing and came out of nowhere. I don't know. I think if I was a Truex fan and going from the 78 to now the 19, just within, you know, 10 races to adapt to that. I don't know. It's just
hard
to get that mindset.
This is just my personal feeling. I have nothing to back it up. I think it'll be the 78.
Think so?
I do. And again, I think people are saying the 19 as in the spot.
Just taking the place of.
The place 19. Of, yes.
Okay.
But it does 100% make sense, marketability reasons, to keep it the 78.
Gotcha. Okay.
But again, you know, we could be wrong. I mean, Truex has drove. Here's an interesting tidbit for you. Name one team Truex has drove for that hasn't dissolved.
That is a very good point. Wow.
Yeah, because he raced for Michael Waltrip.
Yeah.
DEI. Was it Red Bull he raced a couple races for?
I don't know, man. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah.
It's been so...
But my point is that the poor guy has been a freaking journeyman because the teams he's raced, he's been an underdog his whole career. He won the champion as an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
He's winning races. I mean, now we look at him as a big name, but technically he was an underdog.
He worked for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does this impact his final, you know, 11, 10 races?
Man, mentally, well, I don't know because he's essentially staying with the same team. I mean, he's a Gibbs satellite.
Yeah.
He's going to be staying with Gibbs. And here's the thing. If they didn't announce it was going to be with Gibbs still, like if it wasn't already announced, I think it would have mentally distract him more than it is. Yeah. Now, since they already announced it, he knows that I'm staying with the same people, basically.
Yeah. Well, Visser, you know, pretty much said, made it crystal clear that the team will still be provided with the best equipment as it competes for a repeat championship in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see
and
if that actually happens.
And it'll be a feather in Joe's hat if he won the championship again. Because look what I brought on, you know, another champion. So I got Kyle Busch and I have Martin Truex champions here.
Yeah.
I mean, your outsider is freaking Hamlin.
Yeah.
Who would ever thought that?
That's a good point. You know, Hamlin is. Because
Jones is the up and coming.
Mm-hmm. When, you know, to a degree, Suarez. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that shakes out for the rest
of
the year.
Fans, feel free to reach out to us and tell us your thoughts on it, too. It just gets me fired up a little bit just because, you know, it's something we've grown to watch. I mean, we've watched it most of our lives, and some of us have watched it our whole lives, and seeing it being torn apart internally the way it is very questionable, and it just makes us very sad. It makes me very sad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cry, but it makes me very sad.
I think I see a tear running down your face.
I just sweat from being on my soapbox.
All right.
Sorry about that, folks. I didn't mean to go on a tangent. I apologize.
Any other news you want to talk about?
Oh, man, there's all kinds of news this week. So the rumors of Ross Chastain going to the – well, let's just talk about rumors. So, yeah, rumors of Ross Chastain going to the – Ganassi number one car in place of McMurray.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also still rumors of Kurt Busch taking that car.
Yep.
Kurt Busch has said he's got two contract offers on the table. Who are those two contract offers?
Yeah.
What's your guess?
Well, the obvious one is Ganassi. Who would the other be? LFR?
See, that's or what we talked about this. You thought maybe LFR. I was thinking maybe RCR because no one knows what Newman's doing yet. Newman's still a free agent as of now. So the 31 could be open unless they move Daniel Hemric in.
And is one of the contract options to retain at Haas? I mean, Haas.
Yeah, that's another possibility.
Has maybe Haas said 100% officially that he is not?
No. Nope.
Because they did at this one last point, year. Yeah, hauled around to the very end of the season last year, and then boom,
About a month ago, Haas did say our intention is to have all of our drivers back next year. And then the Ganassi thing came out.
Well, if you remember when this happened last year, NBC Sports broke the article and said that Kurt was not going to be returning to Stuart Haas and that he was going to be leaving, and really blew up the article and, you know, upset the whole industry. And then he ended up staying right there.
Yeah.
So I'm just almost kind of wondering is this a little grain of salt with this? Is this same thing going to happen again?
How soon is he going to make a decision? Is it going to be a week before Daytona like last year?
I mean, I wouldn't think you'd want to wait too long. You don't want to shoot yourself in the foot for the rest of this year, but you don't want to wait out too long for next year.
Yeah, if you have two contracts on the table, they're not going away.
They don't want to wait.
Because they got to get shit going. Exactly. And talking about, teams and stuff like that, Obeika, how do you pronounce that?
I would think Obeika.
Obeika Racing, they're going to try to compete some in 2018, and they're going to try to compete full-time in 2019. So do they buy the 78 Charger?
I don't know, but I can tell you I'd never heard of these till I saw the news article. So for fans, if you haven't either, they are NASCAR's first and only African-owned race team. They are being backed by a Nigerian entrepreneur.
A Nigerian prince. He sends an email to fund his NASCAR team.
I think Sokka backed this. He's got a couple of those emails before, I think. Nigerian entrepreneur Victor Obeika, go figure, recently acquired cars and equipment from the former BK Racing team and plans to compete in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series at some point during the remainder of this season and then go full-time in 2019. Man, that's a tall order.
It is. It absolutely is. It's going to be,
This Nigerian prince must have a lot of money.
So, Grandma, stop giving money to the NASCAR team. Because I know you read your emails, and you think that every email sent to you is for you.
Does she really?
Yes, unfortunately. I love my grandma, but she is old, and she's on the computer, and she is like, literally reads every email like it is really directed towards her. She's like, oh my God, I might win $8 million if I do this. No, you're not. Damn, Grandma,
train Grandma to be a realist. But, that's good. It's cool to see a new, team kind of, I guess, come back into the sport. I don't know if you call it a new team. It's kind of a reused team. I guess a new team with old equipment. But still, nonetheless, looking forward to see what happens and develops there.
Yeah, it's just head-scratching.
I don't know who the heck's going to drive for him.
Kurt Busch.
Maybe that's the offer.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Ryan Newman. It could be A.J. Allmendinger because there's rumors he's getting kicked to the curb as well. Or maybe that's where
Newman.
Well, I was going to say maybe that's where Hemric's going, or maybe that's where...
Who knows?
And GMS is still looking for a cup car for next year.
Well, that's what I was thinking, man, is they were talking about all this hem-haul about GMS wanting to be involved. Man, why didn't they take Allegiant and plug that sponsorship into Furniture Row? Joint venture with Barney.
Actually, they were talking about that. I read a story where they're actually looking to basically buy out essentially Furniture Row or merge together, and I don't know what happened, but the deals fell apart. Yeah. And that was like last week.
Really?
So that might have been the last effort from Barney Visser to keep the team going. When that fell through, then it's like, well, time to close shop.
I guess.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that they're haven't announced that they're just going to do a full blown team next year for Cup, because that's what they're wanting.
I know that's what they were after. Yeah. So, okay. What else you got?
I don't know how to take this article, but it's the most marketable athletes.
Yeah.
Sports Pro most marketable athlete. Bubba was in the top 50. He was number 46.
Is he the only cup driver?
Only cup driver. Wow. There's only two other racers on the list. One guy, I don't remember his name. I don't even know who he is. The other one is Lewis Hamilton.
I'm surprised you know who that is.
I know who Lewis Hamilton is. And Lewis Hamilton
he drives IndyCar.
Was, no, F1. But 32nd is where Lewis Hamilton was. But
well, there's I'm curious to know who the other driver is.
It was a guy wearing a Red Bull outfit, but it was definitely a non-American. So I don't know if it was Indy, rally car.
That really narrows it down.
I'm not really for sure. I can't remember the name now.
Damn really, it, Gasman.
It was like Cristiano Ronaldo or something.
Okay.
Yeah, just look
moving
it up.
Moving on.
Sports Pro.
You look it up. I don't know where you got that.
Yeah, internet, dude. Everything's on the internet.
All right. Well, I will look it up. I'll bring it up on the next podcast. So tune in next week.
Did you see the picture somebody created where they turned all the drivers into women?
Yeah.
To me, that was the funniest thing that I've seen in a long time. I laughed. I was looking through it, actually going, okay, that one's hot. Ooh, that one looks like Eric Jones looks like Rosie O'Donnell's kid.
Fans, if you haven't seen this, we did post it on our Facebook, so go check it out. It's pretty funny. There's a couple, though, that I really couldn't figure out who they were.
I know. Same here. So Bubba looked like he could be like one of the platters or one of the dancers from the 70s, like, ooh. Like Aretha Franklin's like backup singers or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, it just, Keselowski looked like he could be like the next Olympic woman swimmer.
Well, Joey Logano looks like Deb from the series Dexter.
But you know what? Chase looked really cute.
I'm going to go ahead and skip
and
over that.
And a couple of them, if you look on the bottom of the picture list, there's a couple. I think one was Cole Custer and another Xfinity driver, maybe Justin Haley. Look like they're like 12. Maybe 10. They look like little itty. Like my daughter's 7. Like they're like they could be her friends. It's so funny. It cracks me up. So yeah, take a look and hey, if you think one of them is pretty, let us know. Just mention it on the Facebook page.
All right. So also, it was announced this week that the F1 race for 2019 at Circuit of Americas in Texas is going to be the exact same race day as the Texas race next November of 2019. So
we're like an hour and a half away from each other competing against each other.
Yeah, track president Eddie Gossage was very hot and humid, or
hot
fuming about it. But man, I don't really
His
get
dew
the
point was just through the roof.
I don't get the hustle and bustle about that because,
and we actually had a fan comment on this saying, "Hey, I've been to both." Completely non-competing fan base.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say I would never. Logistically, where it's kind of.
I'm not gonna say I would never go, never not go to an F1 race because I definitely would if there was one closer to me. I say that, and I never went to the Indianapolis GP, but I don't know if I had the option of going to an F1 race or a NASCAR race. I don't think we just have like casual fans like that. I think you're either an F1 fan or you're a NASCAR fan. So you're either going to go to whichever one you're going to be able to make it to on that schedule, right? I just don't see a lot of fans doing both.
Yeah, I don't see them going to both either. To me, it's like you're saying.
Even if they were a month apart or 6 months apart.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Unless you're just going for the party atmosphere or...
Right.
Not, but a true fan. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Tell us, let us know if
I don't think you are, Lugs. I'll tell you right now. I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. But, fans, if you feel.
I don't think you're wrong, Lugs.
Thank you for that. I think that's maybe the first time in history you've ever stated that to me. But fans, if you feel that same way or you don't, let us know. I'm curious on your intake.
Intake? Right. I guess a car joke, I guess, right?
Yeah. Hashtag intake.
Yeah. So I literally just read something on Twitter that made me laugh. I mean, you may not laugh as much as I did on this. So NASCAR today posted vote now for most popular driver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Bubba
retweeted it, says, congrats, Chase Elliott.
Yeah. Doesn't end until the championship weekend, right? The banquet?
Yeah.
And that, we all know he's going to win.
Yeah, I know. That's just what makes it funny is that Bubba's like, yeah, good job, Chase. Like, you already got it in the bag, dude.
Yeah.
That was just funny. I found that funny.
Other cool thing, Pocono announced free admission for children in 2019 at all Cup and IndyCar races. So that's pretty cool.
That is. And, you know, I have never taken my daughter to a race. I would love the opportunity next season to take her somewhere for her to see it.
Yeah. So normally they do it under a certain age, I think. But,
correct. But now it's going to be, I think, 16 and under.
Yeah, I think it's, what, 12 now maybe or 11?
Yeah, it varies from track to track, too.
So that's cool. I think that is all the news that... I've got one more.
Okay, so I had one thing, too.
Did you hear that Rockingham sold?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so they sold to some investors for $3 million, which to me seems kind of like a steal, depending on, I guess, what you're going to be doing.
Well, I mean, what do you do there anymore?
Well, they said they're going to bring racing back to it. They wouldn't commit to saying, hey, that the National Series are coming back there, but they're going to have races come back there and that they're going to turn it into like a concert venue. So, you know, have festivals, stuff like that, which a lot of tracks already do that. Indy does that a lot. Las Vegas has like the EDC Carnival festival out there, stuff like that. So we'll see how that goes over. But
EDC? What's that? I think of EDC, I'm thinking of Everyday Carry.
Electronic, like my handgun. Electronic dance music.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah, I think of EDC, I'm thinking like my handgun I keep with me.
It's electronic dance music, so like...
Yeah, not okay. That's all right. Never mind. We'll go on.
Like,
that's not my...
Martin Garrix and...
Never heard of him, yeah.
Diplo.
Never heard of her.
That's a dude. But Deadmau5. You've heard of Deadmau5.
No.
Oh,
I've heard of Mouse Rat from Parks and Rec.
Oh my gosh, man. All right.
I'm not in touch with music. Like, we're going to go see Machine Gun Kelly this weekend. I don't know who the hell Machine Gun Kelly is other than on Facebook. There's some kind of feud between Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm out of touch with music. And
yeah.
You add something,
yeah, it's a valid point. You are. But anyways, you do yourself a favor, Google some artists. But anyways, that's where they're going to try to market and take the Speedway, which is cool. It'll be cool for them if that happens. But the last time it was up for sale was November of 2016, and it was the asking price was $6.5 million.
So dang,
they got over 50% off. The last time it was up for sale. So that's the last news piece that I have.
So it's really neat coming to the Indy race this week that we hopefully will be attending. Michael McDowell is going to be racing a John Andretti Give Hope to Riley or Give to Riley paint scheme in support of John Andretti and his cancer battle.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and did you say something about Austin Dillon's going to have a paint scheme as well this week?
He just had a new sponsor.
A new sponsor, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was?
Barry's Bullets and Phone Scope, which I shared on our page too, so go check that out. It's got the links to those sponsors in there as well. So I'd never heard of them before, so to see some new sponsors come into the sport was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, and maybe so Barry's Bullets, like a bullet brand?
Yeah, made in the U.S.
That's awesome. Maybe a friend of ours, shooterslane.com, could start carrying this ammo on their
maybe,
website.
Maybe you should buy some and make sure it's not junk first.
Shooterslane.com.
All right, so I think the last thing that I have that I really want to talk about is, you had Keselowski as a pick for your Final Four, correct?
Correct. Correct.
He really kind of went up in my book after.
Actually,
Darlington
no,
win.
I had him in my Final Four. I took
oh,
him
you
out.
Changed
Remember,
it.
I changed it at the end and
you
put
did.
Jason.
You shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, probably so.
Who was Sokka's final? Do you remember?
Bush. I think his was almost the same as yours.
No, because I had Blaney.
Yeah, he
did. We all had the same three, the big three, but we all had three different drivers.
Pulled it out the last second.
Oh, that's right. So you did. You changed it. So you and Sokka, we're going to have Keselowski, but it's just Sokka that has Keselowski now. You changed yours to Elliott. I had Blaney. So I hate to give it to him, but I'm going to have to give some props to Sokka on that one. He kind of foresaw that a little bit. So give him props there. he kind of, I mean, obviously Kozlowski has to go through all the rounds to make it there, but you know, he got some stage points there now for sure. So we'll see if he makes it there. My Penske pick was Blaney, so we'll see.
Oh, you're going to have a Penske driver? I mentioned something about Penske throughout the season.
I said it last week. Blaney was my... I wanted an unorthodox pick, so that's why I went with Blaney. You should have picked Logano, and we just all would have had a Penske.
I would pick Kozlowski before Logano.
Oh, you were all about Logano earlier in the season.
No, I was not all about him, but we were not giving him enough credit. Big difference.
Hey, he finished second Sunday, so...
Yeah,
you know, it's very possible.
At one time, Penske was 66% of the lead lap cars at Darlington.
Yeah, that's true.
I texted you and told you that. You're like, yeah, but not Blaney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my pick wasn't. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. Anything else?
No, not at all. As always, I want to thank our fans. It's awesome. I love doing this show. I love talking about NASCAR for the folks that listen.
And for you, picks.
Oh, I guess, yeah, picks. I guess that's one of the most important parts of the show. Do you want me to go first? Or do you have people mentioned?
No, I got picks.
Go ahead, go first.
So, my pick is going to be... Oh, man, you've already got it.
So, you see my notes?
Yeah.
How do we... Oh, must be... I don't know. Just... Just say your picks, yeah.
All right, so my pick was going to be Kyle Busch because he was really strong there last year.
Yeah.
And him and Truex got into it and crashed out. And last year's race overall was a crash fest. So if it's anything like last year, which it probably won't be, it should be an interesting race. But Kyle Busch was my number one pick. And then my dark horse was Eric Jones. Or is Eric Jones, shouldn't say was, is.
Gotcha. So I had Kyle Busch. I will scratch him.
Ooh.
Yeah, let me find a pin here. I'll go to my dark horse first. I'm going to go with your favorite driver, Paul Menard. Just kidding. That brings back bad memories for Lugs.
That was 7 years ago, man.
I know, but you still can't get over it. How many times have we talked about on this show alone?
Make me feel old.
So anyway, my dark horse pick is going to be Almirola. I almost went with Suarez here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that out of the news that came out yesterday, he's going to be the most
talked about,
affected.
Yeah,
mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I say Almirola, my dark horse, and my main pick will be. I'm just going to say Harvick.
Okay.
Just to go with the other big one.
Yeah.
Not put much thought into it other than the other big one.
Okay.
Because I did have Busch, so. But you always guarantee that one of those two will be in the top five for sure. If not both.
Although neither one was in
Darlington. That's true.
So.
Harvick wasn't far off. Actually, Harvick was top five, by the way. He was fourth.
Was he? Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Truex was the one that wasn't. Sorry. All right.
As fans, as always, we love you. Thank you for listening to our BS and our ugly voices for the last hour. We thank you. Continue to listen in, continue to tell your friends, and do not hesitate to reach out to us and talk to us. We like talking to you guys. See you next time. Have a good day.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.